Take your Bibles now and turn to Luke chapter 1. We're going to look this morning at God's trophy of grace. Last Sunday morning, we started a study on the book of Luke. And my advice to you is that you sit down and read it more than time, if you will. You'll find out there's a great deal in this portion of the Word of God. Now, we'll be on it at least a year, maybe longer than that. I don't want to miss anything. And as the Lord shows me these things, I want to show them to you. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now turn the page, if you will, to look at verse 46 down through verse 50. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy in his name is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Shall we bow together in prayer? Our Lord, this morning we've read thy word, and now as we go apart and look at it, we pray that thou wilt unfold it before us as never before. We ask also that thou wilt send forth thy word in power and might, unlock these hearts that are here today, Lord, that need to know thee, some of them with whom you are dealing, and we praise you for it, and we ask thee, will you not finish that work today that you've begun in their hearts? We know that salvation is all of thee. Lord, we stand helpless. And as we hear the cry of these poor awakened sinners, our hearts are made to cry out also unto thee, O Lord, be merciful and save them as only thou art able. Thank you now for each one that you've brought this way. Strengthen and edify thy people. And Lord, above everything else, we pray, get glory to thyself and all that's done. We ask it now for Christ's sake. Amen. Our subject this morning, God's trophy of grace. Now today we're going to look at one time, possibly more, we're going to look at the Virgin Mary. Now I don't believe that Mary is a co-mediatrix to the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't either. Mary, however, has been castigated by the people who are not Catholic to the ash heap of oblivion. In some cases they've come along and they've even said that she was a harlot and that the baby that was born was of the Lord Jesus was really nothing but an illegitimate child, but that's not so. On the other hand, the Roman Catholics have taken Mary and they put her to the position of co-mediatrix. In other words, she's on the same par with the Lord Jesus Christ, and nothing could be further from the truth. Now you have this side on this side and you have this over here. Well, we're going to be different. We're going to right between the two of them. Mary is not a co-mediatrix with the Lord Jesus. Anybody that prays to Mary prays to an idol. You better understand that. Anybody that prays to Mary is insulting the Lord Jesus. And you better understand that. And yet, on the other hand, the so-called Protestants, as it were, they just relegate her and say, well, she's nothing. Well, Mary was a very godly woman. And today we're going to look at her and we're going to see in the experience she had, we're going to see three things. I hope we have time to get through with it. We're going to see, first of all, God's effectual call to the sinner. Then secondly, we're going to see the faith of Mary. And then thirdly, if we have the time, We're going to see also God's method of redemption. Now, that's all set forth in this portion of the Word of God. If we don't get through, we'll just stop, and then we'll end the service, and we'll pick up next week where we leave. And I'll take your Bibles, if you will, and look with me at Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26 down through verse 38. We've read that already. And so the first thing we're going to look at is God's effectual call to the sinner. Now you say, preacher, wait a minute. You immediately said that Mary is a sinner. Yes, she is. She said so. Luke chapter 1, if you will, turn the page and look at verse 46 and 7. Notice, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Now here's Mary's condition as a sinner. She was a virgin. She was a godly woman. And she knew the Word of God a lot better than probably most of the women in this church right here know at this hour. She didn't have much but the Old Testament. We have the New. And yet Mary knew this book, and she knew the Old Testament, and she had a real acquaintanceship with the Lord God of heaven, and yet we find her pictured in our lesson this morning as a sinner before God. You see, Mary had taken her place as a sinner before the Lord, and her soul rejoiced in God, her Savior. Can you say that today? If you can't, you're in worse shape than Mary was. And so you need God's effectual call. Now, by the effectual call, we mean this, and I say to it without apology, nobody's going to get saved apart from God's effectual call. People today don't like that term. I preached a number of years ago in Canada, and we had a Bible conference there, and I preached on the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke, and I said, God's effectual call, and all the preachers that were there, with the exception of one, rose up in rebellion and said, we don't want to hear God's effectual call. Well, it tells you right then and there, they don't want to hear what the gospel is. Now, God's effectual call is a call that God gives to the individual, and it's an effective call. It results in the salvation of that individual. And nobody gets saved without it. And on today, we're going to set forth before you the five characteristics of this effectual call. And ask yourself this question as I'm preaching to you this morning. Has God ever done this to your heart? If he hasn't, throw aside that old worn-out profession that you got, that old itty-bitty profession that somebody led you on, throw it out. It doesn't work that way. Because when God saves a sinner, God's the one that calls the sinner, God's the one that speaks to the sinner, God's the one that delivers that individual. And there's no other way. And I don't care how rotten this may be as far as some people call it, and a lot of them do. They say, well, you're preaching heresy. We're not preaching heresy. We're setting forth the truth of God as it is to men and women and boys and girls as they are. Now, there are five things that stand out about God's effectual call. And remember again, five is the number of grace. Now, what are these five things? Well, the first thing about God's effectual call, which with regard to Mary and also with regard to you, is this. God's effectual call is selective in its nature. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Look again. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. All right, now, here is the selective nature of God's effectual call. Now, what does it do? The angel came to Mary, but hold your seat now, he was sent from heaven. Are you listening? When God's effectual call comes to the individual, the Holy Spirit of God seeks out that individual. The Holy Spirit of God is sent by God to search out that person, and then the Holy Spirit of God singles out that individual. Has he ever singled you from heaven? But I want you to notice the second thing about it was this. This call was unexpected. Now, where was Mary? She was in the city of Nazareth. She was taken up with her coming wedding. In other words, she was of this world. When God sets out and calls the sinner, he does the same thing. The sinner is selected by God, and then that call comes unexpectedly to the individual. What's the individual doing? He's doing just exactly like Mary was doing. He's concerned about the things of this world. All right, now let's stop right here and drive a point home. All of you here today came here because God wanted you here. You did not know what I was going to preach about. The song leader, who is now John, he's not here today. He does not know what I'm going to preach about. Eva and Ruby, they don't know what I'm going to preach. My own wife doesn't know about. Sometimes they ask me, they said, what are you going to preach about? I said, about 30, 40 minutes. But now, what are you talking about? Well, we're talking about God's trophy of grace today. And this is God's effectual call. It comes unexpectedly to the individual. Now, the third thing about this column, it comes only to the elect of God. Now, wait a minute, preacher. I may lose some of you here today. Well, if you don't believe in the doctrine of election, then you don't believe in the Word of God. But you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Take your Bibles now and turn to John chapter 10. And notice what it says. We find very clearly it's an unexpected call. It's the same today. And when God sets out and calls the individual, He calls out the sheep of the Lord Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Where are these sheep found? They're found on every hill and pasture. Who are the sheep of God? I don't know, but God does. You're here today by God's divine appointment. And as I look over at this congregation, I find and I see that many of you here today, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as yet. But it's my hope that you're one of God's sheep, that God's call will come to you. And before you leave this building today, you'll walk out of here rejoicing in the Lord, because you found out names been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, only the sheep of God receive that call. You say, what are you talking about? Well, the Lord Jesus said it. Look with me, if you will, in John chapter 10, verse 14. And notice what it says. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of them also I must bring. Now listen to these words. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. All right? In other words, every individual or every one of the sheep of God have to hear, God's effectual call, and have to hear the voice of God. Now, have you ever heard God's voice? I mean this, you're not going to hear a voice coming out of the wall. You're feeling with cold chills running up and down your spine. That's not it at all. You're not going to see everything get as bright as day and brighter than the sun. That's not it at all. But what is it? You will know beyond the shadow of a doubt in the deepest recesses of your soul that Jehovah God is speaking to you personally. You don't know if He's speaking to anybody else, but you know He's speaking to you. Now, where in the world do you find that? In Luke chapter 1, go back again. In Luke chapter 1, we find in verse 28, these words, notice. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And then in verse 30, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. All right, who told her that? God did. Did she hear God's voice? She did. It came by the voice of an angel. And are you listening? We could apply that to today. If you get saved this morning, it's because you hear God's voice and it's come to you by the angel, because that's what I am. I'm the angel of God, which means I'm the messenger of God. And if you think I'm wrong, you ought to read the first chapter of the book of Revelation and you'll find out that God's pastors are called angels. Now, this is the first thing about God's effectual call. God's effectual call is this. It's a gracious call. You say, Pastor, it's a selective call. It is a gracious call. Now, hold your seat. You know as well as I do that not everybody in this world is going to be saved. I wish they were. But not everybody is. Being a doctor of souls, because that's really what I am, in many ways I'm like a physical doctor. A physical doctor deals with a physical body. I happen to be the spiritual doctor, and I deal with spiritual souls. All right? A physical doctor, when he deals with physical, loses a patient. And I tell you right now, it affects you. It bothers him. He's made to ask himself this question. Have I done all that I could do? And sometimes he gets an answer and sometimes he doesn't. Now, preacher, how do you know that? Well, I'm acquainted with several doctors. And they've told me that. All right? With a doctor of souls, there are also times that I don't get those people that I'd like. You say, what are you talking about? Well, there are people that die and go to hell in spite of what I can tell them. I feel a very great loss when that happens. But I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I cannot do one good thing for you, I cannot do one thing to help you, if you don't want to listen. And if you don't listen, it's because you're not paying attention and you don't want to hear. And that's your responsibility. Like I heard recently, a man went to the hospital and they told him point blank, they said, now, you're having heart. Oh, he says, I can get along without it. They can't help him when they're in that category. Now, beloved, today, you want to be saved and you pay attention. You listen like you've never listened before. And you ask the Lord God of heaven to apply what I'm speaking to you individually and you'll be surprised. Now, why do I tell you this? Because you see, God's effectual call is a gracious call. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Have God's gracious call. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, and never would have brought forth the Lord Jesus Christ if the initiative had not come from God. Are you listening? The Lord Jesus Christ will never be implanted in your heart as your all-sufficient Lord and Savior unless and until the initiative comes from God. You see, you and I are at God's disposal. All God has to do is just let you go. And when He lets you go, I'll tell you right now, you won't come to Christ. We read that a little bit of that in the 65th Psalm today. No man will come to Christ of his own volition. He has to be drawn there. And he will not be drawn there until God gives him the effectual call. And as I've said before, it is a gracious call. Now that's why I'm so thrilled this morning of all seeing you here. There's a good number here. And I'm glad of it. And I'm also doubly glad because many of that are here are not yet converted. And I'm so glad you're here. And I believe that this is the initiative of God whereby He put in your heart a desire to come here and to hear what you're listening to. And my hope is that His words are going home in might and power to your heart. And I'll tell you right now, it is a gracious call when it's given to you. God takes the initiative. And God does the same today. That's why Luke 19:10 is the key verse of the entire book of Luke where it says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You ever stood before God as a lost sinner? If you haven't, my friend, put it down, never been converted. God saves only lost sinners. And the problem of today is that we don't have any lost people in our churches. We have religious people. We have moral people. We have people that are good, if I may use that term, but they're nothing but a poor religious, and they're going to die and go to hell unless God takes the initiative and gives them His effectual call, and when He does, it will come in grace. Now, the third thing about this call is this. It's an awakening and an alarming call. Now, Pastor, what are you talking about? In verse 29, we read, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. This is God's effectual call. It's an awakening and an alarming call. Now, people today don't understand the term that we speak of a great deal around here, an awakened sinner. Now, what is an awakened sinner? Well, an awakened sinner falls into these three categories. Number one, he's awakened to his condition. Follow me now, close. God has opened his heart and shown him his condition. And what is it? It's a lost condition before God. And the third thing about the awakened sinner is this. He's troubled because he can't find Christ. Oh, but preacher, wait a minute. The Lord Jesus is right there. Sure he is. But are you listening? The Lord Jesus has to be revealed to your heart. And God does not do that until, first of all, he awakens you and he alarms you. Mary was alarmed. The word troubled means this. It means to trouble to no end. It means to agitate greatly. And the same thing took place on the day of Pentecost when we find the Holy Spirit came upon the church and we find gathered around. And they were alarmed and astounded at what was happening. And I'll tell you right now, the same thing takes place when God gives the sinner the effectual call. That sinner is awakened by God. That sinner is experiencing something he or she has experienced before, and they never will again. They never will again. And this is what took place with Mary. The individual is troubled today. Let me ask you a question. Are you troubled about eternity? You ought to be if you don't know Christ. That ought to be the greatest concern in your whole life. Sports don't mean anything when you're a poor sinner. Money doesn't mean anything to you. You can't take it with you. I remember one night, you know, and they had a great big funeral, but I didn't see an armored car taking his valuables with him. I didn't see it following the hearse. With all his money, he couldn't take it with him. With all your sports ability and all your other things in this world, you can't take one thing with you. Naked you came into this world, and naked going to leave this world unless you are clothed by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Mary was troubled. The individual is troubled. Well, these were tidings from God that caused her. And when God awakens the sinner, he uses the Ten Commandments to show that sinner his absolute depravity. Every sinner is alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained unto life, I found to be unto death. Because what happens? God takes the Ten Commandments and he applies them to the individual, and that individual sees the spirituality of that law. And that individual is made to realize and become concerned because, listen, he has sinned. Every one of them are written against him. He's an adulterer before God. He's a thief before God. He's a liar before God. He's a murderer before God. He's disrespectful to God. He brought up other images instead of the Lord God of heaven. And I'll tell you right now, the sinner is made to see who he is, outside and in. He's a sinner from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. He's a sinner inside. He's a sinner outside. From center to circumference, he's nothing but a poor, poor, lost, guilty, stinking, hell-deserving sinner in God's sight. And the individual knows it better than anybody else. You ever been there? You know what I'm talking about. You can't go down the line. Then don't try to tell me how God saved you, because this is the way God saves a sinner. Oh, it's an alarming call, all right. And the fourth thing about it is this. It's an informative call. Now, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Well, in Luke chapter 1, look again at verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said unto her, Hail, thou that are highly favored. The Lord said, blessed art thou among women. Isn't that a strange thing to say? Here she saw an angel. She never saw him before. He was a supernatural being. He walked into her and said, fear not. Thou art blessed among women. She didn't know what he was talking about. And then he went on and told her these words. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now there's a strange... Now, preacher, what in the world are you driving at? We find very clearly when the angel came to Mary, he told her of the purpose of God concerning her. Now, what's that mean to me today? It ought to mean everything to you. The purpose of God concerning you today is this. Hold your seat now. Pay close attention. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to be saved. How come you can be so dogmatic about it? Because you're here. Because God brought you here. Because you're listening. You're paying attention. The Spirit of God is in charge of this service. And the good tidings that we have to you is this. God's purpose for you is for you to be saved. And if you don't get converted, then I'm going to tell you right now, you will not fulfill God's purpose as far as your salvation is concerned. Now you say, wait a minute. No, you'll fulfill God's purpose. God has a purpose for everybody in this room. The Lord didn't come here to send you to hell. The Lord brought you here so that you can hear how you can be saved. That's God's purpose for you. Well, preacher, how do I know that God will save me? Come to Him and you'll find out. That's the only way you'll ever know. There's no other way. But we find it's an because the purpose of God concerning Mary. And I want you to notice, two times the angel said about Mary, blessed art thou among women. Now two is the number of witness. Two is the number of manifestation. Two is the number of division. Two is also the number of redemption. And keep that in mind. And so you find the whole purpose of God with regard to the angel Mary is setting forth a spiritual lesson for us, and that is this, and this is God's effectual call to the individual. All right, look again. God has a purpose concerning you here today. You know what it is? I'll give it to you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's God's purpose for you. Oh, but preacher, I don't know if I'm one of the elect of God or not. You never will until you come to Christ. Don't stumble over that. Are you a poor sinner here today? Has God opened your heart and you know that you're lost? All right then, sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners, and don't stop suing until He answers you. The answer will come. Now this is God's effect. Now look again. It's an informative call because the Lord delights to save sinners. And the Lord singled Mary out of the mass of humanity as the Lord has singled every one of you here out of the mass of humanity around this area. I dare say we could go next door to that trailer park and there's probably more people at home watching television or getting up than there are here. Wouldn't doubt that a bit. But some of you traveled a long distance to come here. God gave you protection on the highway, which is an act of God's providence. And God wants you here to listen to exactly what you're listening to. But I'm going to tell you this. When we're all over with and done, the responsibility is yours. My hope is that the Lord will reach down and save you. Because you see, God's effectual call is an informative call. And then finally, we find it is an irresistible and faith-bestowing call. Now let's talk about faith for just a moment. We sang this morning and I asked you if you believed it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And then we sing also many times, grace taught my heart to fear and made mine eyes o'erflow. It was grace which brought me to this day and will not let me go. Now what are you talking about? Well, when God gives you an irresistible, it's an irresistible and faith-bestowing call. Now, where do you find that? Look, skip down to Luke chapter 1, if you will, and look at verse 37 and 8. And notice what it says. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, here you have faith-bestowing call. You see, when God's call is an effectual call, it's irresistible. The individual isn't even going to think about turning it down. The individual cries unto the Lord and says, Lord, it's so long. Won't you hear me? And God will. And then many times, the individual, as they're seeking the Lord, I'll tell you right now, they sit back and they take stock, and some of you here probably are doing it today. Well, which way am I going to go? If I go back, I'll surely go to hell. If I keep like I am, I'm going to go to hell. What am I going to do? I can only go one way. I've got to go forward with the hope that the Lord Jesus will save. And are you listening? This is a far cry from this so-called modern evangelism of today. This quickie decision business where you lead somebody and give them the Romans Road and then you ask them if they believe a verse of Scripture and then you tell them they're saved. No way. No way. They miss God's effectual call. But I'm going to tell you this. When God's effectual call comes home to the individual, it's an irresistible and it's a faith-bestowing call because I want you to notice, Mary was made willing before God. What did she say? Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Behold, Lord, I'm your servant. Be it unto me according to your word. And are you listening? The Lord Jesus says unto you very clearly, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The publican cried before the Lord God of heaven and said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The Lord Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, and the Pharisees stood and prayed with himself. Now, beloved, you want to be saved? Cry unto the Lord. Is the Lord dealing with your heart? If he is, face reality. You can't save yourself. You can't go back because you're not going to go straight to hell. You can't stay where you are. You've got to move on to seek the Lord. And if God's given you that effectual call, I'm going to tell you right now, you will seek him and you will hunt for him until you find him, and you shall find him. Now, in some cases, it comes, you might say, after a prolonged period of time. Charles Spurgeon was under conviction for over 5 years. Some of you here, the Lord dealt with for about 8 or 9 years, 4 years or so. You see, it's in God's hand. God's never in a hurry, but God's always on time. Probably miserable. I'm glad you are. You say, wait a minute, preacher, you rejoice in my misery? No, I don't rejoice in your misery. I'm glad you're miserable because it means that God's dealing with you. Otherwise, people get angry with me and out the door they go and they don't come back. But you see, that's their responsibility. But if God's ever given you the effectual call, or if he's given it to you today, you can't stay away. You know you belong here. You know you got to come here because here is where you're going to hear the word of God to be converted. And when God awakens the sinner under this kind of preaching, I'll tell you right now, God, when God, the time God finishes with this kind of preaching, that sinner's going to be saved. If God's truly awake. Now, I've had people call me up on television. Oh, Pastor, I got saved. I said, fine. Third. But hold your seat now. If you're resting on a verse of Scripture for your salvation, you're resting on the wrong thing. You've got to rest on Christ as he's revealed to you out of the Scripture. And Mary said unto the angel, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Well, what do you have here? You have here the faith of Mary. Now, let's go into that for just a moment. We're not going to get done. But let's look at the faith of Mary for just a moment. First of all, Mary perceived what was involved. You see, God doesn't save a sinner ignorant. That sinner knows what's involved. Mary knew what was involved, all right? There were these things that were involved in Mary. Number one, she'd lose her reputation. She was a virgin. She was going to be found with child. She lived in Nazareth, a small town. And in a small town, every time you sneeze, somebody knows about it. No? You know so, don't you? All right, what are you talking about? Mary would lose her reputation. The second thing she could lose was Joseph. her husband. He was a righteous man, and when you go back to the first chapter of Matthew, you'll find out that he thought seriously about putting her away. And the third thing about Mary was this. She could lose her life. Well, are you listening? That's exactly what a sinner faces when God gives him the effectual call, and that sinner's willing to forego all these things. You say, what are you talking about? He'll lose his reputation. I hope that you have a reputation whereby if the day ever comes that they're going to lock up all the Christians, they'll come and lock you up. You'll lose your reputation. The world doesn't care about your Christianity. It hates it. And since it can't get at Christ, it'll get at you. That's why some of you go home and you have loved ones, and they'll say right away, you make a mistake or you do something that this loved one thinks you shouldn't do. Well, what kind of a Christian are you? Sound familiar? Y'all face it. Mary faced it. She lost her reputation. Aren't you glad our salvation doesn't depend on what we do? Aren't you glad it depends upon what's been done? And Mary could lose her life. You say, what are you talking about? Well, if she could found to be pregnant, all right, Joseph was to bring her in front of the village and say, this is the woman that played harlot in Israel, and the result under the law would be she'd be stoned. Mary perceived all that. And we can sum it all up. When God deals with a sinner under conviction, that sinner is made to realize, what shall it profit a man if he or she gain the whole world and lose her own soul? And Mary counted the favor of God more important than anything else. And that's exactly the way it is with you and me today if you're saved. And we find also, Mary also did this. She not only perceived what was involved, but she proceeded to do one thing. She rested upon God's word. What are you talking about, preacher? Mary said unto the angel, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. In other words, she had cast herself completely upon the provision and providence and favor of God. And are you listening? That's the same thing a sinner does today when that sinner comes to Christ. You cast yourself completely upon God. And God's provision was absolute in Christ Jesus. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. All right? Mary cast herself upon the providence of God. God would take care of her. All right? Is God able to take care of you? He is. You cast her upon His providence. And I found out very clearly in the 30 years that I've been here, I'll tell you this, those who serve the Lord God of heaven, I'll tell you this, God supplied every need they've ever had. And He still did. And then last of all, what did Mary do? I'll tell you what she did. She proceeded to bless God for the prayer. Now turn back to Luke chapter 1, if you will, in this closing moment. And we find here, what did Mary do? In verse 46, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Now you chew on it. You chew on it. Do we have any virgin women here today? I probably do. You've never known a man. He's never touched you. All right, in one sense of the word, you're like Mary. The angel came and said, Mary, blessed of God you are, you're going to have a baby. She shook her head and said, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel told her that the Lord's going to do a supernatural birth by a supernatural act resulting in a supernatural person. She said these words, be it unto the handmaiden of the Lord according to thy word. And what did she do? Then she left and went to visit her sister, her cousin Elizabeth, and what happened?
we find here, she blessed God for the privilege.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Are you blessing God for the privilege of knowing Him? If you're not, something wrong. Every day we get up, we need to bless the Lord for the privilege of knowing Him.
We wait upon Him for His providence. We wait upon Him for His provision. We wait upon Him for everything. And He doesn't miss at all. And we go according to what He tells. And Mary did the same thing. And you know what it is? That's what's involved when you walk by faith. See? Now, at the last of all, we find that Mary did what? She praised the Lord for the privilege, because you see, the reality of God's purpose is fulfilled. And are you listening? I haven't found an individual yet whom the Lord's ever saved that they've ever been sorry that God saved. I have found this. Just about every one of them has said, I wish it had happened quicker. Because it's such a privilege to know the Lord. All right, now let me close. Mary had one thing to rest on. You know what? She rested on God's word. And what does the Lord Jesus say today? I'll tell you again. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised thee from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Sinner, you've got nothing else to rest upon but what God tells you. It's the power of God behind the Word of God that makes it such a living reality. We know Christ. And like Mary, we bow at the feet of the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Mary walked out of there. Follow me now. She walked out of there a pregnant woman. And God fulfilled the purpose in her. And today, you bow your head and your heart before the Jesus Christ and say, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. If you please you to save me, I'll praise you. If you please you to send me to hell, I'll go to hell, but I know I ought to go there. Lord, your will be done. Now you listening? Unbelief keeps you from coming this way. I hope nobody here remains an unbeliever. May God give everyone the effectual call. Here's my breath, shall we say. Take your songbooks and turn to number 403. Number 403. So used to the old book, I was going to say 254. But it's 403.